America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Pleasant Gaiman with us. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but she'd also like you to go to her Instagram, which Lex has posted at coasttocoastam.com as well. Do you practice witchcraft, Pleasant?
Yes, but I will not do curses or any kind of spells that would hurt someone.
You're a good witch.
Yes. I wish I had a bubble like Glinda.
Exactly. And ruby slippers.
I do have ruby slippers.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, I do. I made them a long time ago. I made them exactly like the Judy Garland ones.
Now, at what point in your life or career did you start practicing witchcraft?
Well, when I was about 12 or 13, my best friend Joan and I decided we were going to become witches. And I ordered this book called Potions and Spells of Witchcraft. And when it came, it was like a witchcraft Bible to me. It had all these beautiful illustrations, and you know, we would try spells out of that. We also used to try to astral project all the time, but I think that was mostly so we could go into David Bowie or Freddie Mercury's house. This was like in 1973.
Did you ever meet Freddie Mercury?
I wouldn't say that I really met him, but I saw him up close in the lobby of the Beverly Hilton.
He played there right
after I moved to Los Angeles.
He was a great talent, wasn't he?
He was incredible. And then I never met David Bowie either, but at the Mud Club, this underground sort of punk rock disco in New York.
Yeah.
It was rumored all night he was going to come in, and I knew that he had come in because all these people started running out of the back room, sort of the VIP room, crying. And that's like this girl that I knew that was like an insane Bowie freak. And so I went back there because I had left my jacket back there and he was sitting on it. But I was too shy to ask him to get up. I mean, if that would have been me a few years older, I would have just like introduced myself and said, "Hey, you're sitting on my jacket," but I was dumbfounded because David Bowie.
That's right. And have him sign it or something, right?
I know, but you know, it was Bowie and I was hysterical. Or trying not to be hysterical.
Pleasant, what do you think manifestation is and how does that happen?
I think, manifestation is magic. Manifestation is witchcraft or magic in the traditional term, because there's nothing stronger than the power of will. And it comes from inside you. Like, we can use candles, we can use oils and crystals and all of those things, but that's just to focus our will on something that we want to happen. You know, I mean, that's the way I believe it. I use all those things. I love those things. It's great to stare into a candle and do an actual spell. But I've had so many other things manifest just because I said something out loud or I wrote it down a million times and then I worked towards it, you know. But I know that manifestation, that's like the magician card in tarot. It's your will. It's your ability to speak something into reality.
What would you recommend to people who want to learn how to manifest things in their lives?
Well, there's a lot of little things that I would do. One is to make it concrete, like really write something down over and over if you need to, just like old school homework from grammar school a long time ago when they made you write things like, I will not throw paper airplanes in class 500 times. Just write down what you want. Put energy towards it every day. If you want to, you can make a candle especially for that. Madame Pamita, who's a really good friend of mine, has a genius book on candle magic. And, you know, that way you would learn the correspondences, you know, for, you know, certain colored candles for certain desires. But I have found that writing things down makes it concrete. And you can write things down and then burn, like write it on a piece of paper and burn it into a candle in a fireproof container, like a big pot or something, on the new moon, because that's always a good time to start new things. But you really have to learn how to focus your will on something. And a lot of times, if you say something and you really mean it, it will just happen in front of you. And that happens to me and to other people I know who are psychic with really, really mundane things.
Good or bad?
Well, I mean, manifestation, if you want to manifest something, like I don't manifest anything bad. I want to manifest nice things for people, for my, you know, for others, for myself, for animals, or for, you know, how there's like group rituals. Like there was group rituals amongst witches to clear the world of disease during the pandemic. A lot of witches at this store that I do readings through called the Green Man, my friend and co-producer of my witch burlesque show, which we can go into later, Shana Leilani, her and Monica Soares, started doing rituals, and we would put them on Instagram and have everybody who was reading it say it at the same time to rid the world of disease, you know. And so things like that, like if you're trying to manifest something bad, I feel like that turns it into a curse, you know, like if you wish something bad upon someone. So I only go for the good things. And also, if you're trying to manifest something, it will never hurt to sort of pay for it magically, to give coin, like to donate to a charity. It can even just be a few pennies or you know, like whatever you have, like to do something good that will help. It's sort of like your ticket to better manifestation.
What about dreams and manifesting?
Oh my gosh, that has happened to me all the time. I'll tell you the main dreams that I had and how they manifested, and then I will tell people how they can put their dreams into real life if they work on them enough. So the first time that I ever remember it really happening was I had a dream about a band of wild women. That we all looked like we were a cross between Miss Kitty on Gunsmoke, like an old Wild West saloon girl.
Yeah.
And a female biker, you know. And I saw how it sounded. It sounded like Kitty Wells or Patsy Cline meets the Ramones. And I mean, I saw the whole thing in the dream, and I woke up and my takeaway was, I have to start a band right now. And I told my roommate, Iris, who is now actually my book publisher, I said, I'm going to start a band. And she said, what makes you think that you can start a band? And I said, really indignantly, well, if I can get to the blue screen of Ms. Pac-Man, I could start a band. And I didn't even remember that until she told me that, like, a few months ago. But you know, to get to the screen of a video game, or, you know, like, to get to the highest level, you have to really work at it. And it was the same with the band. So the first thing I thought that I needed to do was have a name for it. And I called it the Screaming Sirens, because I wanted an all-girl band. It would be like the sirens in ancient Greece and drive men to death and destruction, but in a good way, in a rock and roll way. And so then I thought I should start. This was in 1983, and it was hard to find women in bands at that time, you know.
Right.
So I thought that the first thing that I should do would be get a great female drummer, but the only one that I knew of was someone I hated, and the hate was mutual, because we always saw each other at clubs doing horrible, crazy things, are getting dragged out by a bouncer because we were rowdy, you know. And
you were rowdy?
Oh my goodness, George, you have no idea.
That'll be a different show.
Yes, that'll be a different show. It was a different show for quite a few years. Anyway, so I hated this girl, but I got her phone number, because I'd seen her playing in other bands. And I called her up, and I was like, I said, hi, this is Pleasant. And the phone was dead silent. And I was like, what are you doing?
She didn't know whether to hang up or what, right?
Yeah, she had no idea. I said, what are you doing? And she said, in a really mean voice, folding laundry. And I said, oh, would you like to start a band with me? And she said, well, what do you mean? And I started telling her about my ideas for the band. And then she said, okay, let's meet tomorrow. And we met. And then, like, at first we were circling each other like wolves, getting ready to tear each other apart. And then we became best friends. And so about 2 years into the band, I asked her, why did you even, like, want to meet me? And she said, because I thought the whole fact that you called was the sickest, craziest thing I could think of. So anyway, the band became the Screaming Sirens. We got signed to a record deal. We toured all over North America. We had songs and movie soundtracks.
Good for you.
So that was the first manifestation.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And then the second one came about, it came about 12 years, I guess, after that one. I thought that I needed to belly dance. I had no idea why. No one in my family did it. And I know, George, you're Lebanese, right?
I'm Lebanese, that's right. I know all about belly dancing.
Yes, I know you do.
Not that I belly dance.
Yeah, but you could if you wanted.
I don't want to.
I would pay to see that. But anyway, so I just kept, I was calling studios all over asking if there was belly dancing anywhere, and I couldn't find any. And then I finally met someone and started taking some classes, and then things started moving really, really fast. I kept thinking I need to go to Egypt to study belly dance, and that was all I could concentrate on was how am I going to get to Egypt.
Oh, you wanted the authentic stuff, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes, because this was an obsession that knew no bounds. My father used to write for National Geographic when I was really tiny, and I remember cutting out a picture in one of the National Geographics of a belly dancer in Turkey, and I still had it in my wallet as an adult, as someone in their late 20s. That was when this happened. So I kept trying to, how am I going to get to Egypt? That was the only thing I could think of. And then a couple came up to me, a female couple that were friends of mine, and they said, we have a proposition for you. I just got accepted into a master's program that I thought I wasn't going to be accepted into, but we had a trip booked to Greece. If I give you my plane ticket, because you could do that in those days, they were paper tickets. If I give you my plane ticket, will you go with her? Can you pay your expenses? And I said, yes. And then I turned to her girlfriend and said, do you have any interest in going to Egypt? And she said, oh, I always wanted to go to Egypt. So I called the airline and changed the tickets to include Egypt. And off we went. And then
you manifested these things, didn't you?
Completely. And then also I manifested a place to stay in Egypt, and that's another synchronicity. I was letting this Swiss rock and roll roadie stay at my house because it had been broken into and I wanted a man around. And he heard me talking on the landline about Egypt, and he said his brother had just moved to Cairo to work for Swiss Air. And he said, I'll call him because he's a workaholic. He'll give you his car and his driver. And that's what he did. And then when he saw the place that we were staying at in Cairo, he invited us to stay at his house. Wow.
My late father was born there. We're not Egyptian, but that's where he was born.
Oh, in Cairo?
Yep. 1923, a long time ago.
Have you been there, George?
Nope, never have. But
it's magical. It's magical. I've been there several times. So anyway, I stayed in Cairo. My son went home, and I stayed there. And when I came home, I'd been seeing dancers every night, taking lessons. And I came home and started working. And, I mean, first of all, who starts a dance career with no training when they're 30? That's what I did. And then I just worked and worked and worked. And within a few years, I started touring all over the world and to teach and perform belly dance. It still blows my mind. Every time that I was about to go on stage, I would just thank the universe because it was so unbelievable.
Where does synchronicity play a role in your life?
It's huge. It's all the time. I'll even tell you this. Okay, so the night before Lisa called me, I was listening to Coast to Coast, and I just said out loud, I need to be on Coast to Coast. And then Lisa Ryan called me the next morning.
My executive producer.
Yeah, I asked her. It was
out of the blue. She called you.
Yes, she called. She called me for such a. She called me and the voice message said she'd been cleaning out her inbox and she saw a time that was 10 years ago when we had spoken. But
wow,
and she said, I don't think I ever had you on the show. And then I called her back and. Yeah, it was crazy.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
Scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.